I recently almost left a cheek smear on a 450-year-old piece of art. But really, I had to. It was the only way I could get close enough. The painting was from northern India and insanely detailed, about 8 inches high and 6 inches wide. And there were many others of similar size and beauty.
In India, you can very clearly see that as early as in the 11th century, you have paintings on palm leaf, which are about 2 inches big.
Vishakha Desai is Senior Vice President of the Asia Society in New York City and an expert on the history of Indian miniature paintings.
That tradition is matured in the Islamic world, and particularly in Iran, and then it comes into India in the 16th century, especially during the Mughal period, which is the Muslim rulers of northern India. But it's fair to say that from the 16th through the 19th century, all over North India, this is really the painting of choice. You have it in Hindu courts, you have it in Muslim courts, you have it in the courts in between. The truth of the matter is that none of these pictures were ever intended to be put on a wall. These were meant to be really like books that you read in your hands. You cannot but get engaged with that work.
This explains the trouble of ripping myself away from the Hamzanama when it was on view at the Brooklyn Museum. The Hamzanama was essentially a storybook created in northern India in the 16th century, which featured over 1,400 images of eye-boggling detail. There are spectacular sword fights, giant ships, demons, sea monsters, and a three-eyed horse.
There is a lot of action, and you immediately say, oh yeah, I want to look at that.
The Mughal emperors commissioned countless miniature paintings from their atelier of court painters, and the genre was widely adored for hundreds of years. By the second half of the 20th century, however, a lot had happened. British colonialism, the 1947 partition between India and Pakistan, and people's attitudes towards the paintings had changed.
It was a familiar genre. One grew up sort of with it in a very strange manner. It was a genre which was always considered very kitsch and done primarily for tourism and for tourists.
Shazia Sikander is an artist who grew up in Pakistan and has been living in the U.S. since the early 90s, when she graduated from art school in Lahore. At that time, she was nearly alone in her serious pursuit of miniature painting, and she was breaking ground with the very personal nature she was injecting into the genre. Since then, Sikander's works have continued that path with some truly mesmerizing details and juxtapositions. Vishakha Desai.
For Shazia, there are personal references, references to court paintings, veiled women, Buddha gestures, horses that actually are without heads. You have very specific references to the Western works, Botticelli's Venus and the big shell from which emerges a huge crocodile, and dancing figures, literally doing somersaults.
As you layer the pigment onto and you build the painting, you can burnish each layer. And this way you sometimes get a much more intense, almost like a jewel-like quality of color and pigment. For me, it's very important to build up layers from light to dark and to have really thin layers built up slowly, because that sort of, for me, I feel it always traps light.
Another feature of Sikander's work is the freedom with which she treats the highly detailed painted borders, which are so characteristic of traditional Indian court paintings. Sikander's central images often tumble out and into the borders, uncontained.
This very idea of exploding from the border out. For Shazia, there is a wonderful work, for example, that plays with the Hindu subject of Krishna and gopis that explodes into this Persianate landscape, and that in itself immediately makes you question the very idea of the kind of fault lines between Hindu-Muslim worlds that we have all otherwise seen in the political news. She is a contemporary artist who actually is doing something that's as much about her existence in this life, as it is also about South Asian cultural traditions.
This marriage of tradition and modern life is bewitchingly executed in Sikander's latest work with computer animation. She recently introduced these new pieces at the Brent Sikkema Gallery in New York, where they were displayed on small monitors which were embedded in the wall and modestly framed. But the pieces still require the close attention of old.
A lot of people would look at the digital piece and kind of move on, thinking that that is also a painting. And it's only after you give it a few seconds that it actually starts to move and animate itself. It's a surprise, even for me as I'm creating it, but I enjoy that.
At one point within the work, a crowd of court ladies slowly fades into white, while their dark hair remains and begins to gradually churn in a gentle vortex.
They almost kind of like, for me, they emulate this kind of a dark energy.
These paintings operate with a stealth power of persuasion that's pretty formidable.
I personally have a problem with the term miniature.
It's a misnomer, because when we think about it, it somehow implies that it's a miniature version of something bigger. It is just simply that it's a smaller scale works that create a whole world within these tiny little pictures.
For me, you know, they are very intense. They carry a lot of information within them. That aspect is what really fascinates me about this work. I never think about them as small paintings. I always think of them as large.
For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Lilly.
You can see images of Shazia Sikander's work at studio360.org.